This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Let me rephrase that. Good tapping your foot this morning. It is Tuesday, the 1st of June. You're tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Now, you heard that music this morning, right? That's some sweet, sweet music. Looking for a sweet peace of mind. Let me tell you all a story. For the last few weeks, I've been trading mangoes and giving away mangoes, right? And I've been telling people, be careful, like trying to catch a man. You just never know which one of these mangoes it'll be. And I need to tell you all something. I caught a man. I actually catch one. So I want to say this morning. Don't mind that sweet Cat Island music this morning. Do not be out there like me practicing or be unawares and end up doing exactly what it is you say you set out to do. This is also a cautionary tale for the PLP and the FNM and all opposition parties who think that they are prepared to govern this country. Don't set out and end up with exactly what it is you set out looking for. Ah, boy. Anyway, my guest this morning is Mr. Sidney Isaacs from the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival. Now, I got a little housekeeping to do, but I want you all to know that he is here. And that's why I play that sweet music. Because this morning, I was supposed to introduce myself as Erin Andy Rooney Green. If y'all know who Andy Rooney is, that's the old boy from 60 Minutes. Now, if you know who he is, that means you old like me. If you don't know who he is, you need to know who he is. He is what you call a curmudgeon. That's old people that is complain about everything. Right? I almost become an Andy Rooney yesterday. But I ain't complaining, you see. It only sound like complaining when you're young. And you're fresh to the world. Really, what's happening is you are talking about the same issue for the 1,000th time. Not because you just like talking, right? Because you can't figure out why people are getting paid to solve these issues, but they're still not getting solved. So you have the right as an old person to talk about it. Because the least you could do is shame the people that know they're not doing what they ought to be doing because they're getting paid to do it.
Right. Like the young person, too.
Yeah. Hey, good morning to my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson.
Morning, morning.
So anyway, I need to tell you all something. I was out minding my own business, doing some discount shopping, and I stumbled across some terrifying news. I don't know what's going on, but it is possible that we have a major issue on our hands, and I think it's important for community stakeholders and political stakeholders to take a look at it. So I went into a food store yesterday to purchase some feminine sanitary products. And I realized that one of the brands of product that I normally buy, the price had doubled almost, roughly, close to doubling. And you hear that breaking up in my voice? That's because I am concerned. As every woman is concerned when the price of feminine protection almost doubles in one period. No pun intended. I also noted that there seemed to be a shortage of product on the shelf. Now, there are many reasons why this could be happening. I noted we're in the middle of a pandemic. So shipping dynamics could have been upended. Then, obviously, a Bahamian was piloting that boat in the canal the other day, and y'all didn't pay him. Because you know a Bahamian is professional, but if you mess with his money, he will find a way to slightly inconvenience you until you figure it out. So there are legitimate reasons why the cost of this particular feminine hygiene product may have doubled, you know, over a short space of time. I don't use that word again. But I think that women deserve an answer. And let me tell you what I mean by an answer. I shouldn't even have to ask the question. There should be a notice up saying, women, don't panic or fall out. The price on this product has doubled. We're not quite sure why, but it's under investigation. In fact, you should have folding chairs in that aisle. So when women see that, they could fall out. And see, here's the next thing. So you say, oh, if you don't like their product, you go find another product, right? Like, women's bodies are that simple. But like I said, it seems to be a shortage. So in case you don't know how this thing go, they sell them in like sizes, right? And then the boxes have different counts in them. So I could get regular, large, super, or super plus, and I could get a box of 10 or 16 or 20. But there ain't no 16s and no 18s or 20s out there. I could see, right? Mm-hmm. This is problematic. Women all around the country are pulling out their notepad and putting together a game plan. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the people who are responsible for the logistics of moving this product into the country understand the urgency that the job entails? Do they understand the necessity? Do they understand that this is an essential item and women who need it cannot function properly without it? You risking your country collapsing because the women who have to go to work to hold it together do not have sufficient access to the feminine hygiene protection needed to do that. I just wonder if the people who are responsible for this understand how important they are to us. See, when I say I was out there catching a man, if I knew that what I needed to do with my magic is create an environment where every woman could have access to feminine hygiene protection without a worry, without a fret. And I mean every woman. I mean the women in the family island that have to pay close to 3 times what we're paying in Nassau already. So if the price doubled in Nassau, what you think the price going to be on the family island? I pause there for dramatic effect. Also because I am in dire need of those products. So you know what that means? That means that my physical state is altered. My psychological state could be altered. I just want the people who have that job to understand how important they are. In fact, I want all the people who have a job in this town to understand how important they are. I need the professionals in this town to understand we value them as professionals and what it is that they do. And we need them to believe in themselves as much as we believe in them. Dear police officers, every officer is a traffic officer. We rely on y'all to keep us safe from the people who don't care about other people. not just the gangsters, but on the roads. We want you to believe in your capacity to manage people as much as we believe in your capacity to manage people. I can't be out here blowing blood vessels because my expectations of you are higher than your BPL bill. I can't say my BPL bill because I'll be honest with you. I've avoided putting one of them in my name forever. It would be disingenuous of me to say that. But this is how important it is. In the time of the pandemic, the nurses and the doctors, they understand what their role is, to the point where they have to ask the government, do you understand how important we are? Do you understand the need to consult us, the medical community, while you make decisions about the medical community? You know who else knows how important they are? The garbage men. God bless them. We salute you. All them young brethren, them who's come through my corner, I love them. They be looking at me like, why this bougie woman always smiling at us when we come in through the corner? And it's because I don't have enough money to tip you in the traditional Bahamian fashion and culture to show you how important you are. But I want everybody to get excited about what they do, about themselves, to see their own value. Not that you are more special than anybody else, you know, but that other people rely on you for their survival. You doing the best that you could do. You in the Bahamas, you don't have to be perfect. We just relying on you to do the best you could do. Because guess what? The Bahamas is a magical place on the planet. Now, there's some real O'Bear. We're a magical place on the planet. Everybody who come here love it. Everybody who in the sky looking down on it love it. It's like in this place, your heart just have to be in the right place. And things just wake out. Somebody them must be around here doing the most foolishness, you know, but their heart is in the right place and the thing is wake out. It's like we magical. And I need y'all to get that under y'all belt. I need y'all to understand that. So I got just a couple more things to touch on before we get into this show. The first is this. Labor Day is approaching. And I have some very important questions we need to ask ourselves as this year's Labor Day approaches. First of all, I know we don't have to talk about how the whole entire labor union community, the union, right? Like the whole labor movement is committed to promoting a culture of safe driving. I know we don't have to talk about that, but we do have to talk about this. How many current or former labor unionists are running in this upcoming election? That's not including John Pinder, the director of labor. Because I still don't believe he's running. I do not believe it. This is a joke. That is a joke. The type eyes tell. Except my jokes don't be real. Okay, how many civil servants are running in this upcoming election? These are things we need to know. And more importantly, has the movement of unionists into politics led to an accumulation of political credit or power for the union movement? Or has it led to an accumulation of personal political power or political credit for individual unionists? I'm going to hopefully have some labor unionists on my show if they'll talk to me after I ask those questions. As soon as the holiday pass, I want to give them an opportunity to do something big this year. Because, trust me, labor unionists, y'all falling down on the job. Employees are out here wondering if they're going to be forced to take vaccinations, right, to maintain their employment. Whether this is a national policy, whether legislation is being put in place to make this mandatory. And I don't hear a peep from the unionists. And I'm a human rights advocate that look up to the labor union, right? Mm-hmm. As the stakeholders of social justice advocacy in this country. Anyway, on to another point. I just want to remind you all that the Bahamas Agricultural Health Food Safety Association or Authority has said that you could eat conch now. The investigations are continuing, but it says, as investigations into suspected conch poisoning cases continue, Bahamas Agricultural Health and Food Safety Authority officials say vendors may resume the sale and preparation of raw fresh conch. Members of the public are advised to remain vigilant when consuming fresh conch. Now, I don't want to tell you where to go and buy your fresh conch, but I live in the east, so I drive past Montague Ramp every day. I'm just saying, that's where I drive past. But I ain't going to do it like that. That's where I buy my conch. I trust Montague Ramp to buy my conch, and I trusted it throughout the suspected conch poisoning, well, throughout the outbreak. I trust them by out there. They're good people. I got three texts I'm going to get to very quickly. Morning, Miss Green. Send me a bucket of mangoes, please. I'll send out a smoke signal. I'll be right there waiting. LOL. Listen, Texter, thank you for saying that, because I can be honest with you. I haven't seen a mango off my tree in a whole week. I just want to say good morning to my neighbors who I think are sharing my mangoes, and I don't have a problem with it because times are tough and people need nice things in their life. Hi, Aaron. Toilet paper, diapers, pads have gone up 40% worldwide. A few months ago, raw materials were stuck in Brazil and China. The VAT exemption is just a consolation. I think 50% of the world's population doesn't care. I think 50% of the world's population is like, hey, we're women, we're here, and we need these things. And the same way that men found out how to create Viagra is the same way we can find out how to ensure that women have affordable access to these products all the time, regardless of what's happening on the planet. It's the same way that people shouldn't be waiting for vaccinations to trickle down from the global north if it's about saving the whole world. They should be benevolent and nice and decent and share the thing. Another text, great show as usual. Thank you very much. Question, is the PM going to give us a holiday this Labor Day? Man, you have a holiday. Every day is a holiday. In fact, even if you wake in, it's a holiday. Why? Write your boss and say, I need to work from home. Write your boss and say, there is a global pandemic and I need to work from home. And I also need you to subsidize the cost of connectivity to ensure that I could do your work properly and keep you safe, boss. Every day is a holiday, people. But you mean, is he going to let us go to the beach? Not so we could pile up like 200 people and jam upon each other with no mask. No, he's not going to let us do that. And I'm not going to let us do that either because I want nice things and so do you. Right? That's what the vibe is, people. We don't have to rely on the prime minister locking us down to act sensibly. We're going to just act sensibly. Like the thing say, only 10 people could gather in a group, so only 9 people go. And 10 is just in case somebody passed by with beer and they could come. Have a plan. Great show as usual. Go to Lowe's. Lowe's don't run out of no products for men or women because they are operated by white people.
Okay.
Dear Texter, what a funny way to say that Lowe's is a company with a longer operational history and perhaps a stronger culture of business in its management and ownership. And they have constructed logistics systems that mean in the 21st century, Lowe's rarely runs out of product. Because they ran out of man the other day. I was trying to buy 2 man. One to cut the yard and one to pick mangoes, and they didn't have any. So they do run out of things. Caller, you're on the clock. I'm sorry I've taken so long.
One to cut the yard, one to pick mangoes, and they didn't have.
Turn off your radio for me. I cannot listen.
How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Top of shape.
Good, good.
For some of us, I understand the magical place you speak of, the Bahamas, is for those of us who were once young and believed in magic.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us of a certain age, still believe in magic.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I see the Bahamas as a divine place. It's a special place. It's unique. The uniqueness of itself is divine. So it's beyond magic.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, magic came out of the divine. Okay, and mm-hmm. So anything that is, any nation that is naturally as beautiful as the people of this country, naturally beautiful in spirit, okay?
Yes,
but
sir.
But if we choose the wrong way to look at our life, our lives as a nation, you know, then we're going to find that we got, especially if it's ways that we have never walked before, when the difficulties of those ways come, we have to face it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for dropping that prophetic word on us this morning. I got to roll to a break. I got some business to handle. We'll be right back after this break with my guests from Cat Island. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rounds are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Lock it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And good morning. Welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. My name is Erin Fela Kuti Green, and we come to burn it down. Except unless you have mango trees in your yard, any fruit tree, or you got elderly people living with you, or children. If you love Jesus, if you respect Allah, then, I mean, I imagine we ain't burning nothing down today, man. Look at that. Universe is beautiful. Everybody qualify. I had to get to that quick break. I'm sorry that I called it to cut it short, but I can tell you what. It's a prophetic word you dropped there, man. It's about our ability to see what is in front of us and what is available to us. I just wanted to make another quick note. The Sustainable Lifestyle Organization has a 100,000 tree planting initiative. And on Saturday, June the 5th, they are giving away trees between 11 and 12 p.m. For more information, contact thesustainablelifestyle.org. That's a website. Check them out and find out what you have to do to pick up your tree. I am going to pick up a tree. I'm going to try and find me, of course, you know what it is, some man tree. Because man does grow on trees in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. They got a beautiful man tree. They got a sweet spirit man tree. They got a crooked man tree. Look here. They got any type of man you want to find in the Bahamas, you could find it here. Are you serious? Plain people think I don't like man. I love y'all, man. I love the men in my life. Yeah. I love the uncles. I love the brothers. I love the cousins, mm-hmm. right? My daddy passed 30 years. I don't stop loving him, mm-hmm. right? I'm looking for man to love on top of all the ones I already love. I got another text here. Morning, Ms. Green. Did you remember to get the number for Department of Environmental Health? I need them to collect a dilapidated vehicle, please. I did not find that ad, but I will find you a number for Environmental Health. But I'm going to show you a vibe. You need to find a salvage company. You need to find somebody who has salvaged old cars and see if you could make some money with this thing. And then see if you could make some money collecting all the old cars because I will be salvaging man. We are picking up old man and we are recycling them. We're sending them to Cat Island so they could be upcycled and repurposed and reloved. Callers, I need you to give me a minute. I got to get to my guests this morning because the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival is calling. My guest today is Mr. Isaacs from Cat Island. Introduce yourself to the people, please.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Bahamas. And a special good morning goes out to my lockdown community in Cat Island, especially the epicenter of both the epidemic and the lockdown and Rake and Scrape Artist Town, Cat Island. Good morning. And by way of extending my greetings, let me also extend condolences to the family of Mr. Milton Smith, who passed away recently. Mr. Smith was one of the founding members and enthusiasts of the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Association. So our heartfelt condolences goes out to him. He will be sorely missed. I personally will miss him because he was one of those guys I get to poke fun at and mess with because he was one of the fellas who chose to work in the bar area, the epicenter of the festival itself. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, good morning, Bahamas and Cat Islanders. Stay distant, stay locked down, stay safe.
And stay strong, and don't feel like that we in Nassau and New Providence have forgotten you. I think the people in Nassau, there's a risk of that because we bougie and we foolish, but the people in New Providence have not forgotten you.
No, they can't forget them because ever since the pandemic, what people didn't realize, most persons were being fed by the Out Islands through the devices of the mail boat.
Yeah.
Sending what we call farm, feel, and fishing products from the island. You know, so if you have relatives on the family island who you're fortunate enough that they pack a box and you go out to the mailboat, in our case, on a Saturday morning, during the lockdown, it was pandemic because that was your main source of survival during this the depth of this pandemic.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Yes. I don't know. I really don't know if Nassau people appreciate the extent to which produce and fruit in particular that they buy in the fruit season comes from the family island. So sometimes that impacts the cost of it. But we can't get fruit unless these people decide mm-hmm. they want to put the work in it. We got to honor them.
Yes.
So listen, tell us, for the people who don't know, what is the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival?
The Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival is the most significant cultural festival in this country. And as the name suggests, it celebrates our rake and scrape heritage, a genre of music that is unique to Cat Island and unique to the Bahamas. It is one where the majority of Bahamian artists gravitate to as a source of their commercial income in the music business.
All right, so here's a question. Junkanoo or Rake and Scrape, which one is most fundamental to the collective Bahamian identity? I give you my answer after you give me yours.
That is a put me on the spot.
But let me give you my answer.
Highly charged. And I can handle this. It's a put me on the spot, highly charged, fully loaded question. Yeah. Both types of music that impacts our culture significantly lends serious input from our Afrocentric background.
Yeah.
You know, Junkanoo was our form of one time of the year celebrating our Afrocentricity, mainly on the island of New Providence. Rake and Scrape, however, is an infusion of Africa, Europe, and Bahamian indigenous sound. And, you know, it was recently named in around 64 by Sir Charles Carter. Kudos to and condolences to the family of Charles Carter, one of my mentor in spirit prior to him passing, you know. But the Rake and Scrape music, like I say, unlike Junkanoo, borrows from the slave ancestry, mm-hmm. hence the implement of the accordion or every now and again the harmonica. Mm-hmm. And it borrows the beat and the rhythm from Africa and, of course, the hand saw with a screwdriver or old bread knife or old table knife mm-hmm. is predominantly Cat Island and Bahamian. So you have this infusion of the music that came to be identified as all Bahamian indigenous music.
Right. For me, I would say it's rake and scrape because you could just pick up some instruments and rake and scrape happening right now.
Yes. And the good thing about rake and scrape, you don't even need professional instruments.
Right.
You could use a bucket. You could use a 5-gallon water container. You could beat on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have that saw in there that's undeniable. Without that, there is no rake and scrape. And that is the Bahamian invention that gives us not only the fundamental sound that qualifies as a rake and scrape, but the instrument that makes it identify as a Bahamian art form.
All right. So I'm going to go to Arlington. Let's go to this caller quickly. Caller, and then I got a text for you, Mr. Isaacs. And then we're going to ask our young friend some question. You're on the clock with Aaron Andy Rooney Green. Good morning.
Godly day to the stock, you know, along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Blessings. A godly day to you, too.
Thank you. First, I want to ask you, what kind of man are you looking to love?
I didn't say I was looking to love them, you know, Bremen. I need to cut you off right there, okay?
Well,
first of all, I can't help myself, but look, I'm only joking. I ain't looking for no man. But
okay.
I tell you what, I am praying peace and love and fulfillment upon all the men in my life and not in my life.
Good. Anyhow, what I want to say to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
My main reason for calling you. When you get the Drunken Noah's leaders on, have them, tell them, the thing is, there are guys, a lot of violent guys, rushing. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you what I know. And will know it too. Well, I shouldn't call his name, but, you know, but knowing that I already call his name. But guys, people are getting killed around these groups. Okay? And it never used to be that way. And a lot of people know who doing the killing, who did the killing, that also in the groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So you're suggesting the sort of gang culture has permeated the Junkanoo environment?
Well, I don't know. I know the killing. I don't know if it's a gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of them are killing and they're right in the group. They're around the group. And I know because I rush it. Okay? And so my thing is, It's taking the fun out of Drunkanoo, and it's causing people to be afraid. You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
When people come to practice and stuff like that, they come on the funeral, the cars are being broken into. It's
all
never used like that.
I got you. Thank you, Bremen. And perhaps that's a part of the impetus of the Prime Minister working with the Junkanoo Committee. Because I was like, why they need headquarters? But I talked to a couple of people, right? And from what you said just now, there's a real reason why they want to create infrastructure and shape the environment in the Junkanoo communities, in communities. And thank you for adding that, Bremen. Although we're talking about rake and scrape, I only let you come in because you tell me you had a man for me, darn it. I got another text here for my guest. Here we go. Ask your guest, how come we don't infuse our music culture in a clothing line like how hip-hop did it? And also, how could we make Bahamian culture popular among the young kids? Okay.
Now, first of all, I didn't fully answer the question, what is the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival? The Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival is, like I said, the primary cultural festival in this country. It is one with a purpose. It is one that says, this is us as Bahamians. This is what we have manufactured and a gift to the world. The festival is us primarily trying to achieve the goals that the question asked by the person in the text. And we have to start from the beginning. First, we had to make the world aware. Where did this art form come from? Why is it important to our national identity? What can we do to develop this product and make it palatable to the world? Make it an attraction that would bring the world attention to us. And that is one of the primary focus of the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival, and that is what the festival is all about. And of course, as the art form develop and entrepreneurs settle around the identity that is truly Bahamian, they will, it will explode into a, and this is my personal belief, into a number of categories where we can benefit socially, economically, and politically from the music. The content of the music's already highly politically charged, socially charged, and you have persons who make a fairly decent living or subsidize their income through rake and scrape music.
Absolutely. Arlington, are we ready for that next break now? And while we're on that break, tell me if you could find a Mr. Walker, I Come to Meet Your Daughter remix with Shadfa on it. Because that was one little rake and scrape classic remix by some young people that stood my head up. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to 96.9 FM. My name is Erin Miriam Makeba Green, and welcome to On the Clock. I have a quick message for you before we get into the rest of the show. There is a new services alert from the Ministry of Finance. Renew your driver's license online today. This is just one of the many government services that are now available online. Visit mypilotservices.gov.bs to register today. Again, this message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. So I found the name of that song. The name of the song is Mr. Culmer by Ian Davis. And I think it's a remix or a I don't know what the young people is called. I just call it a remix.
It's a remix,
a remix of Good Morning, Mr. Walker, I Come to See Your Daughter.
Or actually a sampling of.
Right, that's perhaps the, a sampling of it,
yeah,
right?
They would sample the song, right?
Absolutely.
Yes,
so yeah. I come from the land of sampling, but I don't know how Bahamians feel about it in our genre.
Well, right? It's being used widely because when you look at people outright cover the music or they sample it. Case in point, KB covering of Eddie Minnis Show and Tell. He calls his Captain Kangaroo. Dylan McKenzie covering of Damn Fool, You Married the Garland, with his covering I Nearly Married the Garland.
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, there are a number of persons who revisit old Bahamian music. Now, let me separate Bahamian music.
All right, D-Max Garland song. Is that, where does that sit in? Is that a cover?
That is a sampling of a reference from Obia Man, Tony McFarlane McKay, song, Damn Fool, You Married the Garland, which is a social spoof about Obia and Cat Island, where someone was tricked into marrying an ugly, undesirable person. And the reference to that person is calling them a garland, similar to the other song that we covered out of, and we cover a lot of songs and different genre out of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Most of those songs now have evolved into a rake and scrape platform.
Right.
But like I said, Damn Fool, You Married the Garland was sampled by Dylan McKenzie in I Nearly Married the Garland, which is similarly saying the same message. Whereas Tony McKay, in his instance, they married the Garland. Dylan was forewarned based on what happened in the past, and he was able to escape the trappings of marrying the Garland.
And I ain't wanted you no more. If you married me, I buddy, I's a Garland and I can laugh at you. This is nothing. Listen, y'all just speaking bad on this Garland.
And both refer to our Obeah culture in both in the islands of the Bahamas, because believe it or not, it's present in all the islands.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's part of our Dahomey Yoruba culture.
Yeah.
Out of West Africa.
Right. It's indigenous.
Yes.
It's a part of it. And it's not what... Okay. So let me just say this. I'm from Nassau. And I'm from the suburbs in Nassau. And I'm born at PMH. So that means I'm just a bougie Nassau person, right? I don't know anything about this thing we call Bahamian indigenous spiritual practice per se, right? But what I do know is that people have relied on their own skill set. And if you think that because somebody didn't go to university that they stupid or they ignorant, right? Then you think they practice and obey on you too. When you realize that they were able to use their wit and their skill, their critical thinking, their acumen, their spatial awareness, their mindfulness, all of these things you think you could only get with a degree, to not even outwit you, because you only feel outwitted because you never expected to be equaled or bested by this person. That's all it is. That's all it is, baby. That's not what people like to talk about, Obeah, when really we just silly.
Yeah.
I need a little bit of perspective. So back to Cat Island, though. I miss Cat Island. I ain't been there in years and years.
Oh, man, it's a glorious space on the globe. It's highly and it's spiritually charged, and it is mind-blowingly relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, like I always tell people, it is the place to go to reconnect to your true spirituality.
Yeah, man. Yes. We went camping on Y2K. So as we were about to leave the last the millennium.
Okay.
Right? We went camping and we went up to the Hermitage. But we went up late, so late that we didn't realize we were taking the hard way up.
Don't you feel on top of the world when you ascend to the summit of Mount Alvernia, one of the most spiritual places in the world?
Look here, it was if the world was going to end, we were in the right place. and we just felt it. It was just comforting, right? So how are the people in Cat Island, and how is entertainment? How's the world of entertainment faring in Cat Island?
Just like everywhere else, we almost came to a full stop in the island of Cat Island. But entertainment in the island of Cat Island is not only grounded in the old people, but it is instilled in the younger generation through a number of programs and initiatives. Some of them just evolved naturally because we play the music so much at various places of interest, regatta sites and stuff like that, and during festivals, that the young people gravitate towards that sweet rhythmic music where you can express yourself in any way, shape, or form, be it politically, be it socially, be it just for fun, poking at ourselves, you know. So it is this type of juiciness that attracts the younger generation, especially in Cat Island and by extension the rest of the Bahamas. Because if you go from Inagua to the south, you would notice on YouTube, Facebook, the social media platform, you would see young persons putting together various combination of rake and scrape. And then you have persons who took that type of rake and scrape and evolved it into something awesomely entertaining. And we're talking about the Rhythm and Youth Company.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this, they got their indoctrination and their introduction at the Cat Island Rake and Scrape Festival, and that is undeniable. So it is programs like that, and it is persons like that who basically understands and appreciate their spiritual connection out of Africa into Cat Island and then to the world. And this is like the mechanism and the reasons behind, one of the reasons behind Cat Island Rakin's Great Festival. We developed artists and artisans in this festival, because it's not just about the music, it's about the food and our culture.
And the experiences. Yes. So quickly, is Diane Hamilton still teaching violin and the string instruments in Cat Island?
Not to my knowledge, no. No.
And where does the fiddle fit in?
Well, the fiddle is not a part of Rakin's Great. Okay. That is the tree basic instrument of hardcore Rakin's Great is, of course, the goatskin drum, the accordion, and the saw. You can divorce yourself from the accordion, and sometimes people use the harmonica. Okay. But you can actually take the accordion away from the Rakin's Great and still have Rakin's Great, because all you need is a drum and a saw. The accordion just adds another flair. Right. So hardcore Rakin's Great would be persons who just hanging around by a bar, no form of other entertainment.
Dear women, that's how these men catch you.
Yeah.
If you ever in the wilderness by yourself and you hear a Rakin's Great beat, jump up, run away.
Run towards, because then you will engage your true.
Yeah.
No, but you know, so you have the drums and then the saw itself. That's the fundamental instruments. They are the fundamental of Rakin's Great. Of course, Rakin's Great is now to the point where you have bands like the Lassie Doughboys, Iris Starr Spank Band, Reuben Gibson's Driftwood Band, and so on.
Stelit is Rakin's Great?
Stelit is hard.
Boy, look here. Listen, let me tell you where my trouble...
And Stelit is not just Rakin's Great.
Yeah.
Stelit is unapologetic Rakin's Great. Stelit would not take a compromise on his culture and his music. So Stelit is one of those, he will refer to himself as the Rakin's Great general, meaning he take no prisoners, he conquer his territory, and he has been asked and had the opportunity to appear on a number of platforms and programs, but they asked him to compromise his Rakin's Great, tone it down, infuse, and he refused.
Yeah.
He refused. Rakin's Great, I mean, Stelit reminds me of, like we discussed earlier, the fellow Kuti of the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, refused to compromise and sell out his genre.
How you say that, right? If anybody familiar with fellow Kuti, if you ever watch any of the videos of his performances, and then you see Stelit's video for, is it Rakin and We Scrapin'?
Yes.
With the men in the white linen suits, right? And if we talk about not just the music, but the culture. The white linen suit is the Bahamian man formal suit, right? Now, we could talk about we wear the wool and we wear the tie and the double-breasted and we get dressed up and the corset and the... No, no. Here is Aaron Bougie Green telling you that the traditional Bahamian man uniform suit is a white linen suit. And when a real Bahamian man has decided that he is getting fancy for his people, he gonna press that buddy. And that's what Stelit got in that video. That's how I know he is the Rakin's Great general.
Right. And like he said, no compromise. You are getting 100% Bahamian in his performance and his showmanship. Whatever he puts out there, you're going to enjoy and identify it as Bahamian. The subject matter, the display, everything, Bahamian.
Absolutely. Yes. So I've got 2 minutes left if my producer will let me. I want to just get through these texts quickly. I got a text saying that, Brayman, you bring a little negative on the Junkanoo people like that. And I want to say to both you, texters, Brayman and the texter, Junkanoo is not the Anglo-Saxon Sunday tea activity that we would like it to be for the tourists. Junkanoo used to be a rough and tough thing. Click, 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 and click.
Almost illegal.
Right? And so we have to be very careful how we engage that. So I did it a bit loosely, and I want to apologize. I should have treated it with more attention, right? Because it's an important point to be made. We have to honor what Junkanoo is in its entirety. And a part of it is not the system, right? It is, at one point, it was against the culture to Junkanoo.
Yeah.
And so we got to be sensitive or new or careful when we talk about that. Hi, when a junkanoo dies and his membership dues are paid up, someone is collecting big-time insurance benefits. Dear Texter, thank you for that information. I am going to start investigating how I'm going to make $1 million. Another text, Sparrow of Good Morning, Mr. Walker Fame, sampled or covered many of his hit songs, and many in Trinidad did not like it. Well, one thing about Caribbean people, we understand that we're going to copy your things and make it better, and you can copy our things and try to make it better.
Yes.
Right? And yes. I think I tell you all over and over again, Ronnie Butler Jr., Sr., when he sang that song, by the time I get to Phoenix, Glenn Miller's supposed to write the North American Academy of Music Makers and tell them, I no longer own the song. I would like to give it to Ronnie Butler. Because only him could sing it the way it's supposed to be sung.
And not just that, Unchained Melodies. He owned that.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And the group who sang Islands in the Stream. Right? You just write them people a letter and say, thank you, but we own it now. Because
yeah.
We's Bahamians and that's what we do. Mr. Isaacs, you got the last word. Well, sorry, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, man. No, thank you for being here. It's been a fun time. I hope you appreciate, because I appreciate being in this room with this stakeholder of culture.
I do.
Right? And the people who are making the cultural decisions need to learn to reach out to and engage the cultural stakeholders when making these decisions. Not just directly about culture, but that impact culture. You see how much history this gentleman shared with us this morning? I may just go out and rake and scrape me a mind. Mr. Isaacs, you have the last word of the day.
I am just hoping and praying, Aaron and the Bahamas, that out of this pandemic experience, we have the artists of the Bahamas. They had enough time to write, compose, and put some new music out there. It is inexcusable, guys. Let's get this together. Let's document our history through our genre of music. Make it palatable. Make it funky. Make it acceptable. Let's document our history. We have some challenging times. Let's do this.
Absolutely. And in fact, let's get this indigenous music archive and museum up and going. It is the heartbeat of us as a people, and it is the one thing that you cannot leave to a government to do for you. See, we're going to talk human rights all this week. I know you all had some lively discussions with Dwight this morning, right? We're going to talk human rights all week and all month, but it is our obligation to ensure that we all can fulfill our indigenous cultural and spiritual rights to claim and preserve ourselves through our culture. Anyway, thank you. Don't say amen. I have to start a church too. The Church of the Holy Mother of the Bahamas and its people. That's the only church I could start because I love us. Anyway, I'm out of time. It's been a wonderful day. My producer, play that sweet song for me again. Going to Cat Island. If they let me come back. Thank you, Mr. Isaacs. Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
Thank you, listening audience, for tuning in to 96.9 FM with Aaron Andy Rooney Green on the clock on Tuesday, the 1st of June, 2021. Have a great day, Bahamas.
I don't know what to do. Cause it all started with a smile. Now she got me struck. I asked her out to dinner and she gave me one look. She said, Papa, crazy boy, but if this real, then try your hand. Just let them know what you've got planned. I promise to love your daughter. I promise to care. And when she needs me, I'll always be there. Now I'm talking to your man to man. I always got good intentions.